In 2017, whistleblower and former security contractor at Amazon, Brian Cofran, disclosed a top-secret mind-control weapons program involving some of the largest companies in the world and the federal government of the United States.
I refer to it as a social engineering program. I refer to it as a research and development program. And it's very, very concerning because the people that are in charge of this program are people that are concerned with society on the macro level. They are concerned with grand visions of how society is working and how they want to change it to get it more the way they want it to work.
Supercomputer software programming will manipulate the emotions and the behavior and the thoughts of everybody in the United States of America. And it can all be done remotely. It can be done simply by targeting you with the frequency, locking into the resonant frequency of your DNA and your mind, and in that manner, completely track and trace and control you 24 hours a day.
Dr. Church, the Financial Times had a write-up about an effort in Switzerland called the Blue Brain Project. It goes a little technical, but it says in stimulating neural circuitry, it's involved in the process as an IBM Blue Gene supercomputer feeding data from the studies of real brains to build a virtual brain. Can you expand on that?
Sure. We do hope, as we did in the Genome Project, to have an internationally coordinated project. What we're doing in the United States already and will in the brain activity map include computational modeling, the emphasis will be on measurement and stimulation, which allows you to test the models that are developed in computers.
We're going from outer space detecting dark matter to inner space seeing about our brains, using DNA at every step, and most importantly using citizen science.
The next generation sequencing devices may well be these molecular electronics hybrids, which so-called nanopore sequencing, where we have DNA polymerase that helps couple to ion channels, and you basically convert DNA information into ionic information into computer information. So that's going from DNA to ions, but for the brain, we're interested in the opposite, going from ions to DNA.
You can imagine very inexpensive biological cameras, and you could have all the neuronal firings in the brain, which could be encoded into DNA.
And we now have molecular nano devices that can do this. They can go from light to DNA, and they can go from ATP, other small molecules of DNA. So ions to DNA, and these are some of the graduate students and postdocs involved in this project. Ions to DNA, we have the ion channels that are going through the spiking, or in some cases, the non-spiking behavior that Ted talked about and Ed talked about. But here, it's influencing the fidelity of the DNA polymerase so that the time series of the calcium, say, turns into a spatial series of changes in the DNA sequence, which you can then read out or compute on. And not just for the RNAs and other molecular identifiers, but what the brain was thinking during activity.
This information is then downloaded and stored on a computer in a highly secure classified site on servers that are guarded by some of the tightest security in the world. This results in the individual's entire day, everything they see, everything they hear, everything they experience, and everything they feel being recorded till the end of time.
There are a few things where we may or may not admit it, but they're limited by our storage capabilities. So, for example, if we could store everything, we wouldn't be throwing out data. We wouldn't be writing on top of reusing disks and tape drives. If we could store, say, video information over broad set of the Earth, you can imagine very inexpensive biological cameras that could encode it into the DNA, and you could have very exhaustive archives of this.
It is used to look through eyes and ears so that basically every walking human being in the city of Seattle is a walking, talking camera and a walking, talking audio microphone that can be seen through and heard through. And it's important to note that this is not just a program that's run by SIS. or Amazon, that the federal government is involved. And this is obvious based on the capabilities of the program and the scope and scale of the program. We're talking about the entire city of Seattle, downtown and many of the boroughs that are under the influence not only of this technology, but are under the influence of a surveillance program.
So when you think about the amount of data, so at 40,000 genomes, just A, C's, G's, and T's, we're now at 4.65 petabytes of data. With a million genomes, it would be well over an exabyte of data. So that doesn't include all the imaging data, all the lab data, everything else. That's just A's, G's, and T's. So we're already in the 1% group at Amazon, up with video streamers and porn sites. The expansion of computing has to start expanding faster than Moore's Law.
So you just need AWS to get even better faster, in effect.
Yeah, absolutely. I said once before, we blew a hole in the Amazon cloud.
I was assigned to a security detail on a IDF facility that stores what is called the servers that the DNA databases are stored on. And working with the, at that time, people that were directly involved in experimenting on the SIS employees and then also the homeless population of Seattle, it was revealed to me through working with them that what was stored on those servers were in fact the DNA profiles of the people that were being tortured and abused, for lack of a better term, experimented upon by this technology, and that the way that the technology worked was to actually tap into the resonant frequency of the DNA itself. And that is how I became aware of the fact that the DNA was, of course, being stored by Amazon, the massive DNA databases, and one of the uses for it was, of course, to fine-tune this technology to each individual, to have total biohacking capabilities on an individual.
I said once before, we blew a hole in the Amazon cloud, and we constantly measure the frequencies in our population now, 20,000. We actually make 3D avatars. Once you make an avatar, you guys have all seen the movies, you can digitally make them do whatever you want.
Send the digitized information at the speed of light as electromagnetic waves and deconvolute it back at the other end back into biology.
The way it works is a device broadcasts a radio frequency, let's say at an individual, and that radio frequency will hook up with the resonant frequency of the individual's mind or body, or in this case DNA. And what happens is, once the resonant frequency is found in the targeted individual and the broadcast frequency matches up with that resonant frequency, those two frequencies interlock and they can be thought of as one frequency or one energy. And what happens is, between the broadcast frequency and the individual that's receiving the broadcast frequency, once it's resonating, once they are resonating together, a super highway of frequency along which information can be sent is created.
Then we constantly measure the frequencies in our population now, 20,000. One of the founders of quantum teleportation said, you send a blueprint for a 747, you don't send the 747. And that's what we're doing with life. We're sending the code that codes for life, which is based on four chemicals. It doesn't take a whole lot to think about regenerating that from the digital code as we store it.
And so you can think of it just like fiber optic cables that you use to send signals over the internet, that connect people to the internet. It's the exact same thing, only a wireless application of that. And so once you have connected the targeted individual with the frequency and they resonate together, then you have a perfect avenue upon which to send and receive information back and forth. And that's exactly how they manipulate someone's thoughts. They send voices into someone's head. They manipulate their emotions. They manipulate their behavior. And then that's also how they receive back from the individual in real time the vital signs, the emotions, the thoughts, what the person's seeing, what the person's hearing. And then all that information, of course, is rendered on a computer
elsewhere via software, and it can be monitored and tracked in real time.